Welcome, Hope Grown Faith, to another Monday Mom Mentor, where we are equipped and encouraged to nurture the hope of Christ in our homes. And today I have with me someone who is very near and dear to us, and it's Tara Cole. Thanks so much for joining us today, Tara.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, for probably about a year, Tara was our prayer warrior. She came on every week and prayed for us, which was awesome. So we thank you so much for the time that you spent doing that. She did some teaching for us too. So we're excited to have you back.
I'm excited to be here.
Okay. So now I'm going to let you introduce yourself. Tara, who are you?
All right. I am Tara L. Cole. I am a wife of 20 years. I have three sons, almost exactly the same ages as Christy. And we connected through her Blessings e-course, which I know you guys have access to through Hope Grown Faith. So if you're looking where to start, I absolutely love it and still do it every night with my kids. So we connected through that. I am a teacher. I'm an instructor at a local state school as my day job. So I teach writing and I write. I'm an author on the side. So it all kind of message together.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny how many of us do many, many things. I think all of us probably have like many facets to our life, all the things that we do on the side, right?
Yes.
That's right. So, I mean, I mentioned that you were our prayer warrior for a while in Hope Grown Faith, and you've written a book about prayer. So why prayer? Why is prayer so important to you?
Well, because a lot of times I think we get the misconception that prayer is the last resort. That, or if that we're praying and we tell someone, hey, I'm praying for you, that's a cop out. Mm-hmm. Prayer is actually not the last resort and it's not a cop out. As we can see, even from the example of Jesus on his last night before he was crucified, he spent the night in prayer. Even Jesus needed to pray before big events, and it wasn't his last resort. It wasn't his cop out. He went to God, and it even says that an angel came to strengthen him and give him the strength he needed to endure what was to come. So if the Son of God needed to pray, then how can we do any less? We obviously need it if the Son of God needed it. And so that's why we pray. We pray because we have examples in the Bible of how important it is. Time and time again, it tells us, pray for each other and you will be healed. The prayer of a faithful warrior availeth much. There's tons of verses like that, promising that God strengthens through prayer and that prayer is powerful. And we need to take God at his word when he says that and not think we're doing a cop out.
Yeah, I remember Brooke McLaughlin sharing something about prayer not being a last resort or prayer not being a fake thing. I think it was, mm-hmm. I can't remember, you know, one of the many social media issues that have, societal issues that have cropped up over the past few years. You know, when people were saying, instead of praying, actually do something about it. And she's saying praying is doing something about it. And sometimes we need to pray before we do something about it. Actually, we usually do in order to do the right thing. I 100% agree with you there that prayer is not like, oh, I guess I'll just pray for you. I can't do anything real.
Right. And sometimes I've noticed in my own life, like I will try to do something on my own. There's been so many times when I've tried to do something on my own and I finally, like a child, look up and say, God, I can't figure this out. I know you brought me here, but it feels like I'm between Pharaoh and the Red Sea and I've run out of options, help. And he's like, I was just waiting on you to ask. Yeah. Kind of like for our own children, when they're struggling, I don't know about you, but I don't always jump in and rescue them. Sometimes I simply ask for them to ask for help, because if I rescue them every time, I'm kind of a helicopter parent, not letting them figure out anything on their own. But a lot of times I have the answers, but I want them to realize they need to ask for help instead of rushing in with it. And so I think God does the same thing for us a lot of times. He has the answers. He wants to help. Granted, sometimes it's 11th hour. Why could you not come sooner? Help. But he wants us to depend on him. He wants us to come to him for wisdom, for help, for ideas. And he's just often waiting for us to ask. And so ask, be that persistent widow.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And sometimes we forget about praying for our kids too. We pray for ourselves. We pray for people in our lives who are sick, but we don't really think about praying for our kids. And I know that's exactly what your book is talking about. It's prayers for your child's school year, which I just want to be clear for anyone listening, is perfectly appropriate for homeschool, preschool, private school, public school, what else is there? Online school, unschooling, I suppose.
I've done it all except for private school, but I have friends who have done that as well. And so it was purposefully written for all ages and stages, pre-K to college, and all schooling choices. So if you're thinking, well, my kid is this age, is it for me? Yes. And you might be thinking, hey, my schooling choice is this, is it for me? The answer is yes. I was very intentional as I wrote it because I teach college, but my kids were in preschool and lower elementary whenever I was writing this. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, I've done homeschooling, online, face-to-face. I've taught it all or done it all as a student myself. And so I'm behind whatever schooling choice you have chosen for this season for your family. The answer is yes. I am for it. And this book was written for that.
So why would we pray for our kids throughout their school year?
Well, so often, like our kids will have trouble with friends, with teachers and things like that. And we get in conflict and we try to give them good advice. But when that's not founded on God and where our strength really comes from, oftentimes it falls short. Or if we're having problems with teachers, or if we're the teacher ourselves having trouble coming up with good ideas to reach this child, then if we don't ground it in wisdom from God, a lot of times either we can't come up with good ideas. I've had that with my own kids when I've been disciplining them. I at the end of my rope, I can't come up with any good ideas. And I finally send out a text saying, friends, I need you to pray for me. I don't know what to do. And then God gives me these good ideas seemingly out of the blue.
Yeah.
But he was just waiting for me to ask. Or sometimes we're in conflict with a teacher, but we don't realize there's spirits, there's powers, principalities behind that, as Ephesians 6 teaches us. And so when we pray for our teachers to have that endurance, that patience, that insight into our children, God grants it. I've seen him do it time and time again, because my sons are opposites when it comes to schooling. They are completely opposite personalities. And so every year I pray that those teachers will have insight into them and how to reach them. And they do. God grants that. So instead of fighting with my teachers, I partner with them, let them know I'm behind them, and then pray for God to give them all those things that they need. And the same thing with their friendships. And sometimes, like I mentioned, God's 11th hour, it took 5 years for one of my sons to find good friends. And it took some changes on our part as a family. But even tonight, we're going to go out and meet some of those friends here at a local kind of main event, Chuck E. Cheese type place, and let them play games together. And I am so overwhelmingly thankful for those friendships God has given them. But it took years of praying. It was not a instant prayer answered for that one.
Yeah, I love that idea of the persistence. Like you mentioned, the persistent widow. Just, you know, sometimes it's not a once and done prayer. Like sometimes it is, you know, like, mm-hmm. Oh God, I forgot to ask you for help. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes it's just persistent. There are some things I've been praying about for like 20 years.
Yes.
And he just asks for our persistence in that. And sometimes I think he asks us to see things a little bit differently too. Something that I wanted to ask you was, what else would you suggest praying about for your kids for the school year? So you mentioned teachers and you mentioned friends. What are some of the other things?
Some of the other things we pray through in the book are things like endurance in classes, because being a teacher, I don't think our kids are even always equipped to get A's. We always want them to get straight A's. But the honest to goodness truth is they can't be good at everything, especially as they get into the higher grade levels. They're going to be better at some things than others. But I pray that they'll have endurance, that they will understand what they are learning. And so I don't play for straight A's, but I pray that they'll understand what they're learning. They'll have endurance in their classes. Also pray for their character building, because who they are matters more than what they know. And so as much as I want them to learn the things they need to in school, I want them to become the people they need to become. I'm raising adults, not children. And so I want them to become those people. And then finally, all of us have seen those special gifts in our kids that we've seen since the day they were born. Mm-hmm. There's special gifts I can see in all three of my sons that I can't wait to see how God continues to develop those gifts. But I also don't want school to squash those gifts out of them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm praying that God will help me to steward those gifts in their lives wisely while they're at home with me, and me not to squash them either. but for him to help those become what he wants them to become. So for example, one of my sons has loved music since I was even pregnant with him, and he's very analytical and likes to take things and figure things out. Another one of my sons is so generous. He's the most generous person I've ever met. Has been since the day he was born, but he's also very, very good with people. People just flock to him because he's good at seeing them. And then my other son, we say he brings the party. And so I can't wait to see how God develops these gifts in them. But I also don't want school and the pressures and the teasing to strip those from them. So I pray over those gifts in their school year. And so those are the five things this book really works through, is their friendships, their teachers, their giftings, character, and then their classes.
I love that. And those are things that all our kids are dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so as you're talking, I'm thinking some of us are going to have some reasons why not to pray, maybe some stumbling blocks like, oh, we've prayed about that thing before and God hasn't answered, or I don't feel like I have time to pray, or what are some of the stumbling blocks that you've had with praying for your kids, and how have you overcome them?
Well, there's been several instances, like I mentioned with the friends, because I have my copy of Everyday Prayers here. But in it is tucked this card that I wrote. Let me see if you could see it. Oh, there we go. Yeah. It's also my Instagram. I posted a picture last week on my Instagram and Facebook if you want to go see a closer up. But it is from 2017 when I started praying these prayers over my son. And so that's, 5 years ago now that I started praying these prayers? Actually, 5 years ago, almost exactly, because some of these are from July 11th of 17, that they'll make good friends who draw him closer to God. That my son will have good teachers in the fall who see them and connect with him and feel loved by, that he will be healthy and well. And so the teacher's prayer, like I've said, has been answered every school year. We've had awesome teachers. That friend prayer, it's just now being answered in the last year. That took a lot of growth for him to find his people. And I naively thought, because my family, we were gypsies. I was in 6 different schools in several different states. And so I always assumed my struggle with friendships in school had to do with moving around so much. But my sons have been in the same school since pre-K, and some of them have still struggled with friendships. And I was not prepared for that. But through God pulling on us, because we were at a church we loved, but they didn't have very many kids, and none of them went to school with my kids, the ones that were there. And God kept working on us for over 9 months in 2020, actually 2019, and then into 2020 to move on. And I kept saying, I want to move on, but not that church. That church is big. They don't need us. They don't need us. They're so big. But when we finally suggest to God, because, you know, I feel that navel pull is what it feels like, or that angst in my heart when I keep saying no. And finally, when we suggest, and it took some encouragement from some other friends to do it. But when we finally ended up at that church that we said it's too big, they don't need us, we did not realize how much we needed them. Because there were several kids that go to school with my son. And so now they're going to be, as they go into middle school, they're going to be in band together. They're going to be in school together and in church together. Those are the friends we're getting with together with tonight. And then they're godly families who seek God. And that was my prayer for him, that he has friends who draw him closer to God. And it looks like it's going to be a good friend group growing up. And even my other sons are finding friends, and I'm still praying for friends for some of my other sons, but I'm encouraging you, be persistent in prayer. God will answer. And sometimes he has to change us, but he will answer. And if you're not having time, again, I'm probably next week or in August, I'm going to post on my social some ideas for this, but I'll go ahead and give you guys a download now. But the book is broken up into each chapter has several different parts. And so, for example, it starts out with a devotional, and each chapter, and these are short devotionals, because I don't know about you, but ain't nobody got time for that. So these are short devotionals. And then there is a prayer. There's a prayer based on a specific verse of scripture. There are some extra verses for study and prayer. There are some discussion questions. That might sound like a lot, but if you only have 5 minutes, if that's all the time you have, I would encourage you to start with the prayer and the verse of the day and just do that. And maybe do the think, pray, praise method that Million Praying Moms uses, where you think through the verse, you add any other prayers that come up about it, and then you praise God for a few things that he's doing in your life. 5 minutes, one and done. If you have a little bit more time, maybe you add in the devotional or reading the whole chapter, whichever works best for you that particular day. If you have any more time, you might add in the extra verses and the discussion questions. But don't see it as something you have to do all of it now, because this is everyday prayers for the school year. Honestly, I'm going to come back to it year after year. So if I don't get back to doing all of it one time, I'll be back through it through another school year here next year. And so I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to do what I can on each day and then loop back around, whether later this school year or next school year, to continue praying over my kids. And so you can do the same thing. It's been perfectly, purposefully chunked up so that no matter how much time you have, there's a way you can adapt it to that time. And if your kids wake up and show up, just have them sit in your lap for a second or beside you and say, hey, I'm going to pray this prayer over your school day, and invite them into that time with you instead of feeling like they're an interruption.
Yeah. And you know what you had said just a couple of minutes ago about, you know, we're going to come back around to it, was a good reminder that often we can feel like we're behind with stuff like this. Like it says, you know, there's 30 devotions in there, so I should be finishing it in about a month or maybe a little bit more. And if I don't, then I'm behind, I'm a bad mom. But it's really not that way. We have a lot of time with our kids. God is really gracious. And it's kind of, yeah, where was I going with that? I forgot.
No guilt.
Basically, the point is no guilt. Right? We don't need to feel behind. Like, we do want to be pressing forward and doing something, but it doesn't have to be huge. And that's kind of the whole point of the little habits idea, is that it's the little things that add up, right? So you read the devotional one day, and then the next day you do the little prayer part with the verse, right? Do it on Mondays for the next 2 years, right?
Honestly, that's what I would do. If I'm going to be going through it twice, once with a group face-to-face. Mm-hmm. So if you're here in the Tulsa area, send me a message, because we're going to be going through it face-to-face starting the Friday after Labor Day. Mm-hmm. If you're like, well, I'm nowhere near Tulsa, like Christy isn't. we're going to be doing prayer club with Million Praying Moms online starting in October. And again, that's going to be about a 30-day study. However, if I was doing this on my own, I would do one devotional a week. So since I'm trying to read the Bible through in a year chronologically, I'm like on May, but I'll eventually finish it. I'm not worried about the year goal, but I'm making progress. So I have a Bible study I'm already doing. I would personally put this on Sundays, because that is my intentional prayer time for my friends and family. And so I would purposely put this on Sundays. If you're not doing a Bible study with a group, but you know you want to move slower, maybe you do like Christy said, maybe you do the verse on the Sunday, read the devotional on Monday, read the Bible chapter on Tuesday, and break it up, make it one day last a whole week for you. Mm-hmm. And do it in 30 weeks. And that would cover almost your whole school year. Yep. So wherever you are, adapt it to your season and stage of life. Don't feel guilt or shame. Like Christy said, the important thing is to show up and set your eyes on Jesus for the amount of time you have. Don't feel guilty because you don't have an hour or 30 minutes or even 15.
Yeah. You know, it was a really great place to do those kind of things, in the bathroom. I know not all of us get like free time in the bathroom, but sometimes that's where we escape to get a little bit of alone time, even if it's just a couple minutes. So for a very long time, I kept a devotional book in the bathroom, and that's what I would read. So it's a little, I have to, you know, intentionally not bring my phone in with me to the bathroom or something, right? But we're usually going in there for a reason. More than one reason, right? So it's just a great place. I mean, us ladies, we're already sitting, right? So if you don't, some people find that gross, whatever. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. But I've always found the bathroom is a really great place to read.
That's where I get all my nonfiction books read. Either Saturday mornings, or if I'm really, I'll put them on the back of the bathroom toilet. Yep.
Yep, exactly. I have read through several nonfiction books in the bathroom too. Oh, see, this is one of those things we don't usually talk about, but look, it's a great mom hack.
It is a great mom hack.
Well, you don't even have to do it on the toilet. You can just pretend you're still in there and then just, you know, sit on the floor and read. I have done that a lot, but more when I was a teenager. Just like lay on the floor and read. People are like, can I use the bathroom? No, use the other one. I don't know why. That's, you know, great. One of my kids does that too. And I, from the outside, I'm like, why don't you just go read in your room? But I don't know. It's just a convenient place.
Yep. I bet anyway. Uncomfortable if you're on the floor.
Well, yeah, maybe a little gross. My master bathroom has like a little set of stairs, so to go up to this really weird bathtub that we have. So that's kind of convenient too. Sometimes I sit on the stairs in the bathroom.
That would be convenient.
Yeah. Anyway, instead of giving myself hemorrhoids. Moving on. Is there anything else you wanted to tell us about the book, Tara?
Well, if you pre-order before August 2nd, there are also some awesome bonuses there for you. So there are pre-order bonuses like all 30 prayers as an audio version. So I pray all the prayers over you and your family. There's also some printable prayer cards, and this is one of my favorite things. So we made these printable prayer cards, and like I've done with other stuff I've designed for this group, they are made so you, if you have a black and white printer like I do, you can print them out in black and white. But what they are is they have the verse on one side and the prayer on another with the blank in it. So you can put your child's name in it and tape it to their door, put it in their lunchbox, their backpack, send it off to college with them, wherever you're at in your life stage. But you can insert your child's name in there and give it to them so they know you're praying that prayer over them. Then we have a bonus chapter about helping your kids to abide in Christ and have a foundation of faith. We have a list of 50 different ways to help your children connect with Jesus. And then finally, there's prayer club. So that's going to be with Million Praying Moms in October, but you'll be getting an invitation. And if you pre-order it, make sure you sign up for those bonuses. And all of that is at taralcole.com/everydayprayers. So to order the book and then get sign up for those pre-order bonuses.
Mm-hmm. You know, something that you had mentioned maybe briefly and people might be wondering about, you've mentioned a couple of times, you know, the way that Million Praying Moms does their prayers and a couple other things you've mentioned with them. This book is in partnership with Million Praying Moms, right?
Correct. Yes.
Super cool.
Yes, they have 6 of these prayer journals coming out. So Everyday Prayers for Joy came out in January. And this is Everyday Prayers for the School Year coming out this August. And then they'll have one releasing about every 6 months. So the next one will come up in January. So if you like this, the way it's designed, all of them follow the same format. And so, yes.
That's great. Get one, get them all. Yes. Well, and like I said, you know, if you... and finish in, oh, I don't know why I didn't say this. My goodness, my brain is just like not working today.
This is my second big cup of coffee.
I haven't had any yet. This is actually water.
Oh dear.
That's probably my problem. Where was I going with that? Basically the same thing as what you were saying. You know, if you like this and you finish it in, you know, a year or 6 months or even 30 days, if you're that kind of amazing person, then you can go and grab one of the other ones and you are confident that it is kind of the same. Oh, Sarah actually has a question here. She's wondering, when do the pre-order bonuses arrive?
Okay. I am going to send them to your inboxes August 2nd. So when you sign up for those, the book comes out on the morning of August 2nd. So I'll be sending those out to you August 2nd, August 3rd at the very latest, but they will be in your inbox in about a week.
That's awesome. Yep. I'm pretty sure Sarah,
everybody a chance to sign up for those bonuses.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to be late. Okay. Yep. Super. So the deadline for that is August 2nd. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Because it's a pre-order.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So midnight, August 1st, I guess, technically.
The nice thing about pre-ordering about a week before the book actually comes out is that you're going to get the book almost right away anyway, and you get the pre-order bonuses. So this is the perfect time.
It is. And I think Sarah and some others have already gotten their copies of the book, if I'm correct. I'm pretty sure Sarah told me, and then some others told me they've already gotten their copies of the book. So yes, you could get your copy of the book pretty fast. And it helps the publishers know that this is a book people want. Mm-hmm. So they keep pushing it and marketing it and getting it out, where so the pre-orders really, really help. the authors to get the word out and publishers to know, hey, this is a book people want, and to continue pushing it and marketing it. If it doesn't get as many pre-orders, then they kind of just let it go after it launches. So yes, so pre-orders are really important for authors and to make sure that the word gets out. So I appreciate them so much.
Good. Well, I put in my pre-order, but it was on Kindle. So they're going to hold on to that until the exact date, I'm sure.
Oh, man.
Darn. Should have pre-ordered the real, not the real, I mean the physical copy.
Right.
Well, Sarah says she has hers already. So that's awesome.
Yes.
Exciting. Well, thanks so much for being here with us today. Can I put you on the spot and ask you to pray for us?
Sure. I'd be happy to.
All right. Thanks.
God, thank you so much for this group of women. Thank you for their hearts for you and their desire to bring their children, their most precious possessions, before you. I just ask that you will be with all of us as we enter this next school year, that you will provide our children with friends who bring them closer to you, that you will give our teachers insight and wisdom into our children and how you made them and the best way to instruct them and the things they need to know. I ask that you will continue to help those gifts grow that you have planted in them, that you will give our children the endurance they need and the dedication to stay faithful to their classes and schoolwork even when it's hard. And finally, that you will continue to grow that fruit of the Spirit and build up your character inside their hearts. Thank you so much for the privilege of bringing our children to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.